Are you excited about being at church today? I know that God is excited about you being at church today because he's got a word for you, whether you're with us right here at the Woodlands campus or you're at our Atascocita campus. And by the way, you guys at Atascocita, yell as loud as you can right now. Go for it. It's coming through. It's a 5-second delay all the way from Atascocita. All you guys online, God's got a word for you today. I believe that with all my heart. Chris and I just got back from Madrid, Spain, where we were invited to a pastor's gathering of pastors from all over the world, about 70 pastors, and it was amazing. God's moving all over the world. You know, we sat next to pastors who would go, hey, tell us about Woodlands Church. We've heard about Woodlands Church, and I would be so excited. Tell them all about the life change that God is doing here, how God is growing our church, how he's working so powerfully. And then I'd say, tell me about your church. Well, we have about 300,000 in our church. And one pastor from India said that 1.7 million people have come to Christ over the last 22 years in his church. Isn't that amazing? There were pastors from churches and places that we can't really talk about because they're being persecuted every single day. But I want you to know God's working all over the world, and he's working right here, and he wants to work in your life. God is moving, and he wants to move in your life. He's working miracles, and the greatest miracle is the miracle of life change. And he wants to bring some life change to us today on this Palm Sunday. So let's pray to him. Dear God, we thank you so much that you love us and that you care about everything in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are moving all over the world. And we see, Lord, that you care about every person. Everyone matters to you, Lord. And you want every one of us to experience your blessings and your purpose for our lives. You created us. You know what's best for us. And Lord, I know today that you want to do something in every one of our lives that will change us forever because your word is life-changing. So I pray today that you'd speak right to our hearts and that you would work in our lives and bring healing and strength, that you would bring wisdom in our lives to make good decisions, that you would meet us right where we are and show us that you're real. Change us today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. The Bible tells us that God is the author and finisher of our faith. God is the author, the writer, the master storyteller, and he wants to write and tell the story of your life. He started the story of you, and if you let him, he'll write the story of you, and he won't stop writing until it's a good story, a great story, a comeback story, a love story, an epic and eternal story. When we let God have the pen, he redeems our past and rewrites our story. Now, God doesn't erase the pain from our past. As much as I'd like to go back and change some of the mistakes and failures from my past and just erase them, I can't do that. But God can write something new and powerful that changes the story completely. God doesn't take out the painful chapters, the wasted years, the selfish failures. He just adds a new chapter that turns the pain into purpose, the failures into grace, the mess into a miracle. With just one word, God can change it all. But I think one of our greatest fears as human beings is that as soon as we die, our story will be forgotten. Or maybe our story was never worth remembering in the first place. That's one of our greatest fears, that our story just doesn't matter. And maybe you feel today like all the pain and the struggles in your story mean that your story has no meaning, or that God has forgotten you, or that your story will be forgotten forever, that your story was never worth remembering in the first place, that your story really doesn't matter. But I want you to know today, God has not forgotten you. He's just not finished with the story yet. The master storyteller has not forgotten you. You're just in the forgotten chapter, but the fulfillment chapter is coming. He hasn't forgotten you. He's just not finished with your story, and he will have the last word. He will never forget you. In Isaiah chapter 49, we see the people of Israel thinking that God had forgotten them, but God hadn't forgotten them. They were just in the forgotten chapter. And God reminds them powerfully that he will never forget them. So would you stand in honor of God's word? In Isaiah 49, beginning with verse 14, the people of Israel said, "The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us." Never. God says, never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I've written your name on the palms of my hands. You can be seated. Here, God says, you may feel forgotten, but I will never forget you. How can I forget you? You know, can a mother forget the baby that she is nursing? And even if that were possible, God says, I will not forget you. I'm crazy about you. I've written your name on the palms of my hands. I look at your name on the palm of my hand and I just smile. And God says, so when I write out your story, I'm thinking about you. I'm smiling about you. I love you and I love the story of you. I'm just not finished with your story yet. And trust me, it's going to be an amazing story. God says, if you let me write the story, your story will never be forgotten because it will be an eternal story. But there will be some painful chapters. There will be some problem chapters where you feel like I'm not there. But just know that I am. I'm closer than ever, and your story will never be forgotten. Just let me write the story. Joseph in the Old Testament let God write his story. And God wrote a story that would last forever. We're still talking about it 3,000 years later. But Joseph had to go through the forgotten chapter where it looked like his story would never be told. It looked like the end of the story. But God wasn't finished writing the story. Joseph's story started with the dream from God. God gave Joseph a dream that he would be raised up as a great leader to save his whole nation and the world at that time from famine and to save his family from famine. Now, Joseph was his father's favorite, and because of this, his brothers just hated him. And Joseph didn't help matters any because he had some maturing to do. And he came to his brothers and he said, guys, I've got great news. God gave me a dream that my story is gonna be a great one because God is gonna raise me up to be a great leader. And you guys, I mean, you got a part in the story too. It's really amazing. You guys get to be in my story. You have a part in my story, and your part is you come and you bow down to me. Isn't that awesome? Well, they didn't think so. It wasn't that awesome to them, so they threw him in a pit and then sold him to slave traders who were coming by. So Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. But in every good story, characters are developed throughout the story. Characters change, and that's what happens with Joseph. His character is developed. I mean, he loved God as a teenager. He loved God with all his heart, but he just had some character development that needed to take place so his character could match his calling. And that's what Psalm 105:19 tells us. It says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. The Lord tested Joseph's character. He built his character. Because God cares more about what the story makes you than where the story takes you. Did you get that? God cares more about what the story makes you than where the story takes you. We're always thinking about what we're doing in life, what our goals are, what we're accomplishing. But God's more concerned about our character than our accomplishments. He's not as concerned about what we're doing. It's about who we're becoming. And God begins to work on Joseph's character development. And the way God builds our character is through problems and pain. He builds it through his word, and what we're doing today builds our character, but there's some things you can only learn through pain. It's the pain and problem chapter of our story that turns us to the master storyteller so he can write something that is real and powerful and lasting in our lives. And there are chapters of our lives that get filled with pain and problems. Paragraphs of problems and mistakes and failures. But it's the pain that really rips off the fake cover of your life and gets down to the real story. The real story of you, and that's what God wants because he loves the real you. And God can take your story with all the pain and the struggles, the good, bad, and the ugly, and he can write a new ending that changes the meaning of the whole story. God doesn't go back and erase the pain. He doesn't go back and change all my failures, but he writes something new and powerful that changes the meaning of every word, of every sentence, of every chapter, and it changes the meaning of the whole story. When you give God the pen, he'll begin to write something from the pain that changes it to purpose. And it will change your story from a story of tragedy to a story of triumph. From a story of hurt to a story of healing. He will change your story from a story of death to a story of life. He will change the meaning of your whole life and your whole life story if you'll let him have the pen. But we want to write our own story the way we want because we think we know what's best. But when we give the pen to God, he will take the worst of the worst and bring something beautiful out of it. So Joseph was sold into slavery to a wealthy Egyptian named Potiphar. And I believe when he got sold into slavery, he must have decided, God, I'm going to let you write the story. I mean, you've already told me that you're going to write me a life story that's going to last forever and make a huge impact. And so I give it to you to tell the story the way you want. I give it to you to write the story the way you want to write it because you're the main character of the story. But would you give me the strength to make it through this page of the story? Just this day, this page, I'm going to let you write the story. I'm not going to try to write anything. I just want to obey you today. And Potiphar noticed, he's like, hey, this guy has integrity. I can trust him. I've never found anyone I can trust like this. So Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of his whole household. And God is blessing Joseph and raising him up because he's just saying one page at a time, one sentence at a time, one chapter at a time, God, I just want to do what you want. And I'm going to leave the rest of the story to you because I trust you. I'm going to leave the ending to you. But then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph. And the scripture says that Joseph ran from the temptation. And it says she grabbed his coat and he ran off and she was holding on to his coat. Joseph did the right thing. Joseph chose integrity. It had been so easy for him in a foreign land where no one knew him to give in to temptation. Besides, he could have said, I've been serving God and look where it's gotten me. He could have so easily given in, but he didn't. He did the right thing. He held on to his integrity. And when we let God write our story, when you choose integrity, everything always works out perfectly, doesn't it? Right? When you do the right thing, then right things just always happen to you. Right? No. You guys are really positive, but I just have to tell you, no. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, most of the time it does. Almost all the time it does. And all the time it does later. But immediately, doesn't always work that way. What happened to Joseph when he did the right thing? I mean, God just blessed him and raised him up. Nope. He got thrown in jail, falsely accused of rape. And that's where the story looked like it was going to end. And Joseph had to come to the place where he said, God, I know you're going to write my story. You've promised me that. And I know it's going to be an eternal good story. And I know that you're going to bring good out of bad. I don't get it, but I'm going to keep just obeying you one page at a time, one word at a time. I'm going to obey you and let you write the story, even though right now it looks like you've forgotten me. He came to the forgotten chapter. And we all have forgotten chapters in our lives where it feels like we've been totally forgotten. And it was there that it looked like it was the final chapter. It was there that it looked like the book of his life was going to be closed. He was going to die in a prison cell in Egypt, and his story would never be known or never be told. And there he meets a former cupbearer of the king, And one night, the cupbearer has a dream in prison, and he tells it to Joseph, and Joseph says, I know exactly what the dream means. God revealed it to me, and it means you're going to be raised back into Pharaoh's favor, and he's going to bring you back as his cupbearer, and you're going to be his right-hand man again. You're going to be really blessed, and when you get back to Pharaoh and everything's restored, tell him about me. Don't forget me. And I'm sure the cupbearer said something like, you can count on it. That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get back. I'm not even going to bow to him first. I am going to tell him about you because you are amazing. Thank you for interpreting my dream. You can count on it. But look what really happens in Genesis 40, verse 14. Joseph said, and please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. So Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him and tell Pharaoh about him, and yet this guy forgets him completely. Have you ever been forgotten? Have you ever been forgotten by somebody who said, oh yeah, I'm gonna really come through for you. You can count on me. But then you don't hear another word from them. You feel forgotten. Or you're in a room and you're talking to someone and you see they're always looking around you to see if there's anyone more important in the room. You feel invisible because they're looking right through you or looking over you or looking around you. When Josh was in college in Nashville, I decided that I was gonna fly up there one weekend and surprise him. And I decided to do that for two reasons. Number one, because I love him. And number two, I decided to do it because I wanted to catch him in his element, you know? Just to see how college was really going. Just to make sure he wasn't getting in trouble. I didn't want to give him any warning. I didn't want to give him warning where he could clean everything up, you know, before I got there. So, not that I didn't trust him. But I'll never forget, I arrived at the Nashville airport and went to get my rental car, and they said, I'm sorry, sir, but we gave your car away. And I said, what? And they said, we have to understand, it's Country Music Awards. It's CMA this weekend, And I'm sorry about that. You know, we gave your, and that's the first time I realized that it doesn't matter if you make a reservation with a rental car company, it's worthless. You know, it's like, what? Why do we even do this? This makes no sense. You can just give my car away. Yeah, look in the contract, you know. It says that we can give your car away at any time that we feel like it. And your reservation is worthless. Well, I have to say that as your pastor, I was just like Joseph. God, give me patience. I trust you. No, I didn't. I was really frustrated because they promised me. I had a reservation. And they go, you have to understand, it's CMA. It's crazy. We gave your car away. There are no cars, but you can wait right here, and eventually one will come in. I felt invisible. They'd forgotten me. And I said, wait a minute. You don't know who you're dealing with here. Apparently they did, and they didn't care. And so I waited for 3 hours, finally got my car, and then I drove to my hotel to check in, and I got there, and I was tired, worn out, and I was going to check in the hotel, then go over to Josh's, and they said, I'm so sorry, sir, but we gave your room away. You have to understand, it's CMA. I know it's CMA, okay? We gave your room away. We didn't think you were coming in. I said, it's just 10 o'clock at night. You know, and I had a reservation. Yeah, I know, but you have to understand, it's CMA. And I'm going, come on, what important person took my room? I don't think Tim McGraw is staying at the Marriott Courtyard. I don't think that's happening here. I mean, come on. And I was just so frustrated. I felt invisible all day. But then I drove to Josh's place. I didn't have a hotel, no place to stay. And when I got to his house that was off campus, and he had several roommates that were living with him, I snuck up, I parked way down the street, I snuck up and I saw Josh on the front porch smoking a joint. No, I didn't see him doing that, no. I was like, praise God, praise God. He's just sitting there praying, he's praying. He's just sitting there praying. He wasn't studying, but he was praying, I'm sure. And I kind of snuck up, and then he looked out, and he's just like looking, you know, in the dark. He sees this bald guy coming up, you know, and he's, "Dad," and he yells, "Dad," and he runs, and he gives me the big, "Dad, what are you doing? This is awesome." And I finally didn't feel invisible anymore, because the only one who really counted, knew who I was, gave me a big hug, made me feel so valued and so important. But have you ever felt forgotten? I mean, it just ticked me off. Have you ever felt forgotten? Folks, sometimes we're not valued. Sometimes we're devalued. We're mistreated. Sometimes we feel forgotten by God. But just remember this, God will never forget you. People will forget you. People will let you down, but God will never forget you. You're just in the forgotten chapter. And forgotten comes right before fulfillment. The forgotten chapter will end, and the fulfillment chapter is on its way. It just feels like God's not there. And when you're in the forgotten chapter, where it feels like God is nowhere around and the heavens are silent, then you have to do what Joseph did. He made a choice. Even though he was left in that prison feeling totally forgotten, he decided that he would one page at a time, one chapter at a time, one sentence at a time, one word at a time, just obey God and say, "God, I don't like this. It feels like you've forgotten me. I don't know what you're doing. But I need you to give me the strength just for today, for this one day, for this one page, to just obey you and serve you and praise you and sing to you, because you had me here for a reason. And you're going to write the rest of the story. You're going to have the last word. So I give it up to you to do it however you want, because you're the author and finisher of my story, and you will finish the story." And when you're in the forgotten chapter, every day just keep saying, "God, I don't feel like it. It seems like you're nowhere around, but I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to keep living for you. God, I don't feel like it. God, I don't feel you're around, but I'm going to have my quiet time today anyway. And I'm going to spend 10, 15 minutes with you anyway in your word, even though I'm not really feeling it right now. God, I'm going to come to church right now, even though I'm doubting that you care about me. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to be there, God, because I know you're going to come through. God, I don't really feel like praying today, but I'm going to pray to you anyway, because I know you hear my prayers. God, I don't feel like tithing right now. I'm going through a difficult time, but I'm going to do it anyway, because you command me to, and you promise me that you're going to bless me. God, I don't feel your presence right now, but I'm going to praise you anyway, because I know you're here, whether I feel it or not." And folks, it's in the forgotten chapter where your faith is built the most. Because it takes faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when you follow God in the forgotten chapter, he builds your faith and he prepares you for the fulfillment chapter. Jesus went through the forgotten chapter on the cross. Really, it was the forsaken chapter. Good Friday was forsaken Friday before it could become Good Friday. Look at this passage in Matthew 27, 46. "About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When Jesus took upon his body the sins of the world, and he who knew no sin became sin for us, the Father had to look away, because God's perfect and holy and could not look upon the Son at that moment, as Jesus became sin so we could be forgiven. Jesus not only had to die for our sins, he also had to experience his Father forsaking him so we who deserve to be forsaken would never be forsaken. Jesus went through the forsaken chapter to show us it wasn't the final chapter. God wasn't finished writing the story. The last chapter was coming. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming, and Easter turned the forsaken chapter into the forgiveness chapter. It turned the forsaken chapter into Good Friday. And if you feel like God has forgotten you today, I want you to know you're just in the forgotten chapter, but God's not finished with your story. He hasn't written the final chapter. You just have to go through the forgotten chapter to get to the fulfillment chapter. But I want you to see Joseph had to also go through the forgiveness chapter over and over again. You see, every step of the way, he could have become bitter. It seemed like he had every right to become bitter, because he was always being wronged. He would do the right thing, then terrible things would happen to him. People would wrong him. He could have become very bitter. But he knew that bitterness just creates writer's block for the master storyteller. Because when I become bitter, God can't write out the blessing chapter. It creates this writer's block because bitterness blocks blessing. And so even though it seemed like he had every right to become bitter, he didn't want the bitterness to block his blessing that was coming. So he kept choosing to forgive whether he felt like it or not. And then finally, the cupbearer remembers him because Pharaoh has a dream and everyone's upset because Pharaoh's upset, and the cupbearer remembers, hey, there was a guy named Joseph in prison and he could interpret dreams. And he told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh brings Joseph into the palace and tells him his dream. And Joseph says, I know exactly what that dream means. God has revealed it to me. My God, the one true God, has told me there's going to be a famine in the land. So you got to store up food now so you can feed your nation and other nations as well and save them from famine. Well, Pharaoh is so impressed, he elevates Joseph to be the prime minister, second in command in all of Egypt. He goes from the forgotten chapter to the fulfillment chapter. He goes from the pit to the palace. But there's still a forgiveness chapter. And in your life, there will be many forgiveness chapters because we live in a broken world. You're going to be hurt. People are going to wrong you and you're going to hurt others. And we have to choose that forgiveness chapter over and over again, whether we feel like it or not. And when the famine hit, Joseph was in charge of distributing all the food from the stores in Egypt, and all these nations were coming to him, and his family came to him, but they didn't recognize him. And you know the story. Then Joseph reveals who he is, and they're terrified because they know he could just say one word and have their heads cut off. They know that he has every right to take his vengeance. But Joseph says this in Genesis 50:20. It's one of the most powerful sentences in all of Scripture. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph says, yeah, you guys did intend to harm me. You intended to hurt me. You wanted to hurt me. That was your purpose. But God had another purpose. He took the pain you inflicted on me and he turned it into my purpose because he is the master storyteller. And I let him write the rest of the story. And in a way, I want to thank you guys because if it wasn't for you throwing me into that pit and selling me to the slave trader, I would never be in the palace right now. I wouldn't be here today saving your life, saving our nation, and serving you today. So in a way, I want to thank you. Yeah, you intended to harm me, but God meant it for good. And I've already forgiven you. I did it a long time ago. I've already forgiven you. All along the way, I kept forgiving you. How powerful is that? Because there are people in life who intend to harm you. They love it when you fail. And there are people who have harmed you. And some of you have been wounded so deeply and it's not fair. Some of you have gone through such trauma and been hurt so deeply by someone else and it's not fair. It doesn't make sense. But I know this. God can take the pain and God can take the hurt and God can take even that trauma and somehow bring something purposeful and beautiful out of it. They intended to harm you, but God has a greater purpose. And they don't write the last word. They don't have the last say. God writes the last word. And when he starts writing, the pain turns into purpose. And God has a purpose, and your story is not written yet. That hurt doesn't define you. Yes, it happened, but it doesn't define you because God's writing your story, and he knows your destiny, and he's going to finish the story. He will have the last word. No one else is going to have the last word. He'll have the last word, and he'll take care of it all one day. And I want you to look at Genesis 45:7 because this is what it all really leads to. It leads to Joseph understanding God's story for him. God has sent me here to keep you and your families alive so that you'll become a great nation. You see, Joseph at first thought the dream was about me. It's like, hey, this dream's all about me. I mean, you're all worshiping me, bowing down to me, and it's me, me, me. But it turns out I was wrong. I was part of God's big story. That God had me come to this place so I could serve you and save the nation of Israel. and save our family, that one day the Messiah would come through our family lineage. Joseph just got to be a part of God's great story. And that's the way we are. You see, if your story is one that's about you and you're the main character of your story, then your story is a selfish story that will die with you. But when God's the main character, you focus on serving others because God's story is all about others. God has this plot that runs all the way through history, which is his story, and it's this. He's building a forever family. He's bringing everyone into his forever family because he wants everyone to be part of his family. As many as choose him, he brings into his family, bringing them into his forever family, a forever eternal story. And that forever family is the church, the body of Christ. It's not a building. The church is people who love Jesus and connect together. And so that's God's plan. God's story is that he lives through us. We're his hands, we're his feet, we're his voice to go to this hurting world. We're to tell the story. God tells the story through us. In Ephesians 1:23, it says the church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Focus on speaks and acts. And so you're the church. You're the body of Christ. When Christ is in you, the master storyteller, and he lives through you, then he tells that eternal story through you and your uniqueness, even your hurt and your pain and your failures and your sins. He takes it and brings about a redemption story, a comeback story, and it's a life-changing story. And so we're to tell others our story of what Christ has done for us. And that's what Easter is all about. All of us who have experienced Easter personally, in Christ resurrecting us and forgiving us and changing our whole story, then we're to tell others that story. We're to invite others to Easter. And next weekend, it's going to be amazing. It starts on Friday night, and this is going to be one of the most creative and powerful Easter services you've ever had. We've been planning it for a long time. And I say that every time, don't I? And God always does it. But I'm telling you, God has given our creative team all these ideas, and it's going to be all about how Easter turned the world upside down. And we're going to turn some things upside down here, and it's going to be such a creative and clear message of how God can turn everything around in your life. And so invite a friend. 90-something% of people who don't go to church say, I would go to church if only a friend would invite me. So think about who you can invite and start inviting friends. And we have this little invitation right here. We want you to invite a friend. Take this, take several of these and give them out to people at your workplace. They're looking for somewhere to go on Easter for their family. And so invite them to our Easter service. Just invite friends, invite family, invite relatives, invite people to Easter because that's what we're to do in the body of Christ. We're to share our story. We're to help people get in on the greatest story ever told so their story can be changed. And I know this, God has some folks he wants you to invite. You don't keep it to yourself. When the stories change your life, you want to give out the story and you want to bring others into his great story. And I'm giving these out all the time. I give them to the people at Starbucks when they take my coffee order. I'm always giving these out. And so give them out and it's going to be amazing. I just want to go over the service times with you so you'll get it. Friday night, we start at 7 p.m. And Friday night's going to be really special. At the end, we're having a communion service, Good Friday communion service. At the very end of the service, we're going to take communion. And so I hope all of you regular attenders will come to the Friday night as we kick it off. And then Saturday, we have a 5 and 7. And by the way, in all those services there, we have Easter egg hunts for the whole family. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of wonderful things going on out on the plaza at both of our campuses. So at 5 and 7 Saturday night, then on Sunday morning, 7 a.m. sunrise service, it's huge. It's like 1,000 people come to our sunrise service. And so at 7 a.m. out on the plaza at both of our campuses, and then at 9 p.m. in the chapel here at the Woodlands campus, we have a tradition service. And then our services that are the regular Easter presentation, 9:30 and 11:30 and 1:30 on Sunday. It's the same at Atascocita except for the 1:30. And so here's the thing. If you're a regular attender, don't come to the 9:30 or 11:30 on Sunday morning because last year I think we had 2,000 people in overflow. And so we need your seat unless you bring a friend. Now, isn't that crazy? Pastor says, don't come on Easter. Don't dare come on Easter. God will strike you if you come on Easter. No, that's weird. No, if you're bringing a friend at 9:30, 11:30, come on at 9:30, 11:30. Otherwise, come to one of the other services. And we need you to serve at a service. We're going to have so many people coming through the doors of our campuses that we need every regular tender to serve. Here's the qualifications for serving. Are you breathing? That God has gifted you. God has gifted you. And we need you. We need people to greet people. We need people to drive trams. And unless you're on drugs or alcohol and God hasn't redeemed you yet, you can't drive yet, okay? But here's the thing. We need every one of you. We need people in the children's ministry. You don't have to teach. We have great teachers, but just to serve. And so we have a little sign-up sheet. You can do it online. You can do it right here, but put the service that you're going to serve at, and we will call you this week. We'll tell you what to do, where to meet, about 30 minutes early, and we'll tell you what to do. We'll place you. And something happens when you serve at Easter, because that's what it's all about, and then you experience the service at Easter. Easter's not complete until you do both of those things. And I'm telling you, we need every one of you to help us out, because when people walk onto the campus, they need to see someone being Jesus, just smiling and shaking their hand. They need to see someone being Jesus in the children's ministry. They need to see people being Jesus all over this place, welcoming them. And we need every single one of you. And there's so many areas that we need people to serve in. So sign up this week. We'll connect with you. Now, here's the thing. You share your story, but it's not that you're some weird person telling people about Jesus. No, you tell them in your way, in your story, your uniqueness, the way you are. It's not that you get out on the street and start preaching. You just be you to the people who know you and trust you. And I got a shirt this week that someone gave me that, see, I can wear it this week, and it will help people get a close-up on that. Jesus is risen. He's risen, okay? I'll wear that this week, and people are going to be so attracted to Easter in Woodland Church. He's risen, he's bustling, he's just doing it all, man. So, what I'm saying is, I'm not wearing that shirt. So, okay, I'm going to be me, okay? Invite people to Easter. You see, his story, the greatest story, really has no beginning and it has no ending. I mean, you can turn the pages backwards, but you will never get to the first page, for the story has always existed. And you can turn the pages forward, but you will never come to the last page because the story will never end. But you can open the book to the chapter where the greatest story came from the palace of heaven to be etched on the frail human pages of our planet. His story comes to life in the unusual setting of a filthy animal stable in an insignificant Middle Eastern village 2,000 years ago. And at first, the story was written in obscurity for 30 years with very ordinary words that almost no one read. And even fewer recognized the uncontainable power that was in the story. But then suddenly, at 30 years, each sentence of the story began to explode off the page with miraculous words that brought healing, words that brought good news to the poor, words that would bind up the brokenhearted, words that would comfort those who mourn, words that would set the captives free. And then more and more people began to follow the story. And the story began to take hold of their lives and began to fill them with hope. But there were those who tried to change the story. They didn't like what the story clearly said about their sinful hearts. So they tried to change the story. But you can't change the story. The story can only change you. And when they realized they couldn't change the story, they tried to stop the story. They tried to ban the story. They tried to keep the story from ever being told. But the more they tried to silence the story, the louder the words became. But in the darkest chapter in human history, in jealousy and rage, they killed the story. It looked like the end of the story. The book was closed. It was wrapped and bound and placed into the deepest, darkest, forgotten corner of Earth's archives. and the great stone door was slammed shut, and it was locked, and it looked like the story would never see the light of day. And with it, all the words of hope and joy and life and peace were gone. It looked for certain that the story would never be told. Just imagine the greatest story of all time never being told. But after 3 long days in the darkness of hopeless silence without warning, each word began to breathe. Soon each sentence began to burst off the page in uncontainable light as the binding burned off and the story exploded to life again and the story was resurrected from the dead, because the greatest story cannot be silenced and the greatest story cannot be stopped and the greatest story cannot be banned, though there are those who still try to ban it today. The greatest story could not be killed, and the greatest story will be told. And the greatest story ever told, has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And each one of us who has received the greatest story become part of the life-changing story. And because of the greatest story, your story will be told. Your story will never be forgotten. Your story matters to the greatest storyteller of all time. Let's stand together, Woodland Church, and let's pray to him. And I know some of you, you're in the forgotten chapter. Just hold on. Ask God for just strength for one more page to obey him, because the fulfillment chapter's on the way. Dear God, we come to you today on this Palm Sunday. We realize that so many are in the forgotten chapter right now, and they're wondering where you are and what you're up to. Just remind them that you have not forgotten them. You've written their name on the palm of your hands, and you are writing their story. You're just not finished yet, and you will have the last word. And you have a purpose and a plan. I know there are those, Lord, who say, I've made too many mistakes, too many sins. My story's done. But Lord, I pray you'd tell them today that if they'll just give you the pen, you can write one word and it changes the whole story and turns the pain into purpose and turns the sin into grace and the mess into a miracle. Do that, Lord, as they give the pen to you. And I pray for those who have never given the pen of their hearts to you to write, so you can write their name in the book of life, and they don't know they'll be in heaven one day. They don't know if they're saved or not. They've never experienced the power of the story. That right now, in the silence of this moment, they would pray and receive you into their life and say this silently to you, dear Jesus Christ, I need you in my life. I give you the pen of my heart, and I ask you to write my story. I ask you to erase my sins. I ask you, Lord, to write my name in the book of life. I accept your free gift of salvation and heaven one day. I give my story to you, for you are the master storyteller. Be the Lord of my life from now on, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, in church, if you prayed that prayer, Christ came into your life. He'll never leave you. Let us know about it. If you did it online, just click, I received Christ today. If you did it here at the Woodlands campus or Atascocita campus, tell one of our greeters out there, one of our pastors out there. We want to help you grow in your faith. Hey, it is Palm Sunday. We're going to celebrate Holy Week. It's going to be amazing. Invite a friend. Hey, by the way, pray for Haiti. We have so many ministries in Haiti, orphan care, farmers' field schools, and so many of the people we minister to are going through so much pain right now. So we're sending resources and food to them and getting it through to them up in the mountains of Haiti, where we have our farmers field schools, where we've been transforming communities with clinics and orphan care. And so pray for them right now, because church, you're sending food that's going to sustain them. You're sending resources and supplies that are going to sustain them. But pray for them as they're going through so much pain right now. But I believe God's not finished yet. He's going to write the last word. God's up to great things, Woodlands Church, and we need to praise him, because we don't deserve the forgiveness and the grace, but we have it. We're children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's not on the cross anymore. He's alive. He is risen. And so let's thank him with everything we've got. I mean, I know it's not much. I've got nothing. fit for a king other than to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. My gratitude comes through. Do you thank him today? Do you praise him today? Do you believe he's going to write the last word in your life? Let's sing to him.
Hey, church. Thanks for listening to the Woodlands Church with Carrie Shook podcast. By listening, we hope that you're encouraged wherever you are. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast so that you can get the latest messages each week. For more information on Woodlands Church, check out the description for a link to our website and how to connect with us. We hope you have a great week.